Well, if you've been with us, you know that we're in a series on basic Christianity, and our main text is Hebrews chapter 6, and I want to read verses 1 and 2 once again. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, or of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, plural, and of the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. I'm not laying these foundations. We're just revisiting them and causing our faith to be stirred up in the Word of God, in the things of God, and to make sure that our foundation is sure so we can build upon that foundation. Again, this bears much repetition, and God has delivered me from the fear of repetition, but the doctrine we're looking at is not the doctrine of the Baptist Church. It's not the doctrine of the Assembly of God. And it's not the doctrine of charismatic churches. It is the doctrine of Christ. These are the things that every Christian needs to make sure is laid and foundationally laid in their lives. So we're at the point now we're looking at resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of the dead. And I'm going to cover three major things here in simplicity. And there's a lot of complexity surrounding the subject of resurrection and resurrection of the dead. I'm just going to endeavor to keep it as simple as possible, again, that your faith might be established, that your faith may be stirred in the simple things of God, that you might work these things out now in the community of faith and walk them out together. So we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the resurrection in terms of the person, a person. We're going to look at the final hope of resurrection, and we're going to end with the mystery of resurrection, because there are many mysteries associated with God that actually keeps this thing an adventure and exciting. There's just some things about God we don't fully understand, but that keeps us pursuing Him. And it keeps it from being bored, quite frankly. I like it that I don't know everything. I used to be afraid, especially as a pastor, not having all the answers. But I don't have all the answers, but I know someone who does. And that's God. And I just need to get you to Him. And that's a powerful thing. So let's look at what Jesus said about the resurrection. We're going to start in John chapter 11, verses 17 through 26. And this is in regards to Lazarus. And the death of Lazarus. And we're all familiar with this. So I'm hoping to get through this pretty quickly. And Jesus was friends with Lazarus. And Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha of Bethany. And Lazarus has gotten sick. And Mary and Martha send word for Jesus. And I won't have time to go back too far. But I've given you the passages. But they said, hey, Lazarus is sick. The one that you love. A little manipulative there. Would you come and help us out? And so Jesus then begins to say some things that, again, I wish I had time to share. But basically he said that we got to go see our friend Lazarus. He's asleep. And the disciples said, well, if he's asleep, he's doing better than us. We need some rest. And Jesus got a little frustrated with them because they didn't understand asleep meant dead. And so he just come right out and said, hey, he's dead, and we need to go. And one of the great men of faith he surrounded himself with said that, well, you know, the Jews down in that area are trying to kill you, so we'll just go with you and die with you. Boy, appreciate my ministry team, amen, I really do. And so Jesus, I'm sure, is just shaking his head, man. And so anyway, they head down to Bethany to minister to Lazarus. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus is dead. So it says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard... I'm so sorry, don't laugh, Dwight. Then Martha... as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. Now remember, this is the Martha that rebuked him and asked him to correct Mary, because Martha was doing all the work and Mary was sitting at his feet. Yeah, same Martha, very outspoken. Watch this. She heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Mary's still waiting on God, seeking God. Martha's still popping off, so here we go. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. What are friends for, amen? She's blaming Jesus. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Playing the blame game, right? Right at the very beginning. But I know, and here's where she recovers herself, trying to be spiritual. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it you. Whatever you ask God, he will do. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. Now think about this for a minute, at the last day. So she had some teaching. She had some understanding out of the Old Testament of a day, the last day, that there would be a resurrection of the dead. So she had some familiarity to the subject of the dead being raised. And so she says that, I know he's going to be raised in the last day. Jesus said unto her, hey, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I'm telling you, if you ask that today, most people really don't believe that. Don't really believe that. She went on to say, well, I believe, and she wiggled a little more, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I don't know if she was sidestepping it or not still. But she did say, yes, I believe. So what is Jesus talking about in especially verses 25 and 26 about resurrection? Now think for a minute here, and I want you to make a note. Jesus did not negate the coming reality of the physical resurrection of the dead. He simply brought light to the resurrection centered in a day to now centered in a person. That up to this point, the subject of resurrection in the Hebrew people's mind was a day to come in the future in which the dead shall be raised. And Jesus was not negating that, because we're going to look at some other things Jesus said about the resurrection of the just and the resurrection even of the unjust. So he was not negating the concept of the physical resurrection in the last day. He's just taking it to a whole nother dimension and light, and that resurrection is not so much about a day, but it's about a person. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is resurrection power. He is God's life manifest in the flesh. Now look again at verse 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, we're going to have to look at this biblical concept of death. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he or whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I don't know if you've ever really thought that out, but even Lazarus that he raised from the dead eventually still died physically. Lazarus is not with us today, so he died even again physically. Everybody that was standing there that believed in him eventually died as we understand death physically. So what was Jesus talking about? We can't understand what he's talking about in his fullness and in light of this subject of resurrection until we understand what the Bible says about death and what the Bible says about life. See, death in the Bible is separation from God. Separation from God. Life, then, is union with God. Now, I'm going to fly through these, or we're not going to make it, and we'll wind up 2 more hours on this. So you need to take good notes, or you need to go to the website and download the notes to check all these out. But we all know Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Through Jesus, through a person. See, eternal life comes to us through faith in a person, not a day or an event in the future. In Isaiah 59, separation is used. It says, the prophet said that their sins is what separated them from God. Genesis 2:17, we're familiar with that. In the garden, where God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he put two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then all other kinds of trees. And he said, there's only one tree that you're not to eat of. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In the day, a death is going to occur the day you eat of the tree. Now, we know from the scriptures themselves that Adam didn't die for another 930 years in the physical, right? So what was God talking about? In the Hebrew, it is said that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. Thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die is dying, thou shalt die. There was a death that happened the instant that they sinned against God. And that was a spiritual death. See, Adam died inside spiritually before he could die outside physically. So he was separated from God in his spirit man. And that resulted ultimately in time in physical death 930 years later. Jesus came to reverse that, and life begins in our spirit man first. That's where we come into union with God, and life comes into our spirit, and we have, because of that life, the future hope of the resurrection of our bodies at the second coming of the Lord. So just like death started spiritually and resulted in physical death, life starts spiritually and results in physical resurrection in the last day or the second coming of the Lord. Now, look with me at John 5:24. We're going to look at that scripture because it talks about passing from death unto life. So, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what? Death unto life. Notice that when we accept Jesus, we pass from death to life. We pass from death in our spirit man, separated from the life of God, to life, our spirit man now in union with God. Because that's what life is. Life is union with God, and death is separation from God. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Jesus said, and this is John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know the true and the living God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So what is eternal life? It's knowing God. And that word knowing in the Bible means intimacy to becoming one. So spiritual death is my spirit separated from God, and life is my spirit now in union with God. Look at the next passage, Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were what? Dead. See, we used to be dead in sins and trespasses. Lots of people are dead, even though they're alive physically, they're dead. We were dead in sins and trespasses before Christ. We were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, or raised us up. Quicken means make alive. Has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Look at Colossians 2:13. And you being what? Dead in your what? See, we were dead in our sins before we believed in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessed him with our mouth. Before we believed in him and accepted him as Lord and he became Savior, we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh. But look at this again. He hath quickened or made alive or resurrected. Now you got to remember these scriptures. Because when I get over into Revelation, you've got to take these scriptures to bring them over to know what he's talking about. So I know you're all nodding your head now and going, yeah, I believe that, I know that. Well, when we get over to Revelation, you got to remember this. Or you're going to go, what? Think about it. And you being dead in your sins, see, we were dead in your sins, and uncircumcision of evil, hath he quickened or resurrected or made alive with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. In James 2:26, for as the body For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So for a Christian especially, those of us that know the Word of God, those of us that have been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, for us, we need to understand that physical death doesn't mean you cease to exist. It means you, the real you, just comes out of your body. So what is physical death? Separation. It's you separating from your body. For as the body without the spirit is... So what is death? It's your spirit coming out of your body. What is that? Separation. Separation. So as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home, while we are at home in the body, while we are at home in the body, your body is not you. You live in your body. Your body is your earth suit. It's what gives you authority in the earth. Once you come out of your body, you have no authority on this planet. Your body and you living in your body is what gives you authority on this planet. All saints who go home, and we'll get into that in the next few verses, but when you come out of your body, we're going to see from the next few verses that you go to be with the Lord. You have no authority on earth when you're in heaven with the Lord. You only have authority in your body. Your body's your earth suit. Your body's a glove. It's not you. Everybody with me so far? All right. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So what happens to a Christian at what we call death is they, the real them, comes out of their body and is present with the Lord. That's why we can find comfort when a loved one goes home, is because we know they're not there, that their body is asleep, but they are with the Lord. Now, with all those scriptures I just showed you, watch this. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, separated from God in sins and trespasses, yet shall he live, be in union with God. And whosoever liveth has union with God, and believeth in me shall never die, be separated from God ever, ever again. Hallelujah. Woo! Do I believe that? Yes! And Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says, Paul speaking, I am fully persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. I may separate from my body one day if the Lord tarries, but nothing can separate me from this person who is resurrection and who is life. And because I have faith in Jesus, before I had faith, I was dead in sins and trespasses. But he made me alive. He quickened me. He resurrected my inner man, my spirit man, and seated it in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. Listen to me. If you're born again, you've already experienced the first resurrection. I don't believe you're nodding your head and acting spiritual. If you're born again, you've already experienced a resurrection. The resurrection, the person Jesus, united to him in spirit, and your inner man has been resurrected and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I've already experienced the first resurrection. And we'll look at that here in a moment. Let's talk about the final hope of resurrection. The final hope of resurrection, the resurrection of my body. See, when Jesus comes back, I'm not going to get a new spirit. If he comes back today, my body's going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But my spirit won't be changed. It's already been changed. It's already been resurrected. If the Lord tarries and I, me, Dwayne Sheriff, come out of my body will return to the dust from whence it came. See, my spirit came from God and it goes back to God. My body came from the dust of the earth and it returns back to the dust of the earth. But if I come out of my body because of this resurrection life, then I go to be with Jesus, and we're going to see scripture after scripture. He's going to bring me back, and I'll get a new body, a resurrected body, a changed body. And that really is a hope that all of us long for, because basically, can I get a witness? Most of your problems is your body and working in your body. So let's talk about the final hope of the resurrection. Now watch this. First resurrection is our spirit. Your spirit has already been resurrected in union with the resurrection, a person, Jesus. That's called the new birth, the new creation. Second resurrection is our bodies, an immortal body. Let's look at some passages here. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 in the Old Testament speaks of two different resurrections. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So if your name is in the book, and we've talked about that previously, then you will be delivered. The next passage says, and many of them shall sleep. Now sleep is a Bible term for the body in the grave. God told Moses that he will go to sleep with Abraham and Isaac and the fathers. So sleep is used in the Old Testament referring to the body at rest. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, Lazarus is asleep, etc., etc. And there's other scriptures, so let's look at it again. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting what? And some to shame and everlasting what? That's not good. That's not good. Well, what does that mean? Not good. Not good. You want to get in this group right here. Come on. And God wants everybody in this group. And God's made a way for everybody to get in this group. I tell you, the Lord spoke to me in prayer just to give me peace. I don't know if I can share this or not. I guess I can. Because it was kind of personal. But you know, I get bombarded too with people over this issue of hell and people going to hell. And they really grapple with it and struggle with it. And you know, well, what about this group? And what about that? And what about these over here? And what, just 1,000 questions. And I mean, the Lord just gave me personally at least such a peace on what I taught you a few weeks ago, that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into this earth to convict the world, John 16:8, to convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. And it was like, I taught it, I believe it, but something came to a different dimension in my own heart and in my own personal life, that God is a great God and he's a loving God. And I promise you, nobody's going to go to hell that doesn't want to go and that doesn't resist God and doesn't fight God and doesn't hate God and doesn't just refuse to repent. God is speaking to every lost person every single minute of every single day. He keeps sending me across their path, you across their path. Everywhere they go, there's that squeaky voice, repent. God loves you. Come on home. And I don't know, I just got a peace that God is so just that nobody's going to accidentally go to hell. And I've already said this publicly, and everybody goes, what? It's hard to go to hell. It is hard. I grew up in a system where it was hard to go to heaven. And God didn't want you there anyway. Amen or oh me. We got two resurrections here. We got a resurrection unto life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Contempt. One translation says damnation. So two different resurrections. And they that be wise, that's everybody within the sound of my voice. They that be wise, they that accept God's love for them, they that accept the atonement for all their sins, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and that they turn many. See, those that are a part of the resurrection and unto life, they turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Hallelujah. That's what we're here for, is turn people to righteousness. Turn them to righteousness. So that was Daniel. Now, look at what Jesus said, though, and this is awesome. And I'm shouting. Look at what Jesus said. Got excited. Verse 25 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. How many of you know that one day you heard the voice of the Lord, and you believed, and you came alive? First resurrection. You got born again. You asked him into your heart. You heard the call. You heard the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he says, that hour is coming, and now is. You got to remember this now. Watch this. When the dead, those that are dead in sins and trespasses, those that are dead in iniquity, those that are separated from God, they shall hear the voice of the Son of God. We heard. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they that hear live. You get born again. Your spirit gets resurrected and seated in heavenly places. Watch this. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Marvel not at this first resurrection. Marvel not at the time coming, and right now is, when those that are dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they're going to live. Don't marvel at that. Watch this. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. But notice he didn't say now is. He said the hour is coming, but he didn't say now is. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear. Boy, I'm pumped up. Let me calm down. Shall hear his voice. I'm excited. All in the grave. Notice he's talking to a different group now. We're not talking about those dead in sins and trespasses. We're talking about those in the grave. And the hour is coming. Now is not the time. How many of you know that shortly after he said the hour is coming and now is, when you're going to hear the voice of the Son of God and the dead are going to live, that wasn't very far off because of his death, burial, and resurrection, and then he sent the Holy Ghost. But now he's talking about something different. And he says, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of what? And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of? What does that mean? It ain't good. It ain't good. And we don't want nobody to be raised for a resurrection unto damnation. We want everybody. God wants everybody. We long for everybody. We pray for everybody. We want everybody to be a part of the resurrection of life. Of life. Now, again, verse 25 says that the time is coming and now is. That's the new birth. Verse 28 says all in the grave will hear his voice. That's future. And verse 29 says there's a resurrection of life. There's a resurrection of damnation. Now watch this. This is powerful. Those who are saved experience two resurrections. Those lost experience one resurrection to death. Wow. Look at it again. Those who are saved experience two resurrections. First resurrection, new birth. Second resurrection, resurrection of life, my body. Those that are lost experience only one resurrection, but two deaths. And that's what the book of Revelation says. Let's fly through these because I'm doing real good on my time. I want to go to Revelation 2:11, Revelation 26, 14 through 15, and Revelation 21, 4 and 8. I gave you the references about a second death. Revelation 2:11. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So we're talking to Christians. We're not talking to the world, right? right? Let me go on this side. We're what the Spirit says to who? So you're not going to hear this on the 6 o'clock news. This is to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the what? Second death. Now look at Revelation 20 verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the what? How many of you know when you get born again, you're blessed of God and your spirit man is truly holy and righteous? Yeah, blessed and holy is he that experiences the first resurrection. Anybody who becomes a new creation is blessed of God and their new man is righteous and truly holy. Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. I'm sorry, don't. Anybody who has the first resurrection born again, death, the second death, hath no power over you. Oh. And some of you are having a bad day. Get over it. You will not be a party to the second death. It has no power over you. On such, who's this? Those that have the first resurrection that are blessed and holy. On such, the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God. How many of you know we're priests of God? Revelation 1. We're the priests of God. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years, which I don't believe means 1,000. It means ever, forever. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second. Isn't that simple? Look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if your name is not in the book of life, then you'll experience physical death if the Lord tarries, but you'll also experience a second death. A second death. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away. And boy, you need to, boy, the verses before are just great. I just put them down for references. I didn't know I'd had time to go over them. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Their eyes are the saints. Those that are a part of the new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven. That is a bride. That adorns herself to meet the bridegroom. So the new Jerusalem is you. Those that are in heaven. The family of God. The city that was set on a hill is the new Jerusalem, you. The people of God. And I know that's new, but it's true. Whether you believe it's a physical city or the body of Christ, the bride, he's still going to wipe away all tears. And there shall be no more what? No more what? Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But, verse 8, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Aren't you glad you've been delivered from the second death? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go through these quickly. The hope of the resurrection. Paul is speaking here in 1 Corinthians 15. It is an awesome chapter, the whole chapter. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Now, he's not talking about here a doctrine of dying daily. He faced physical death every day of his life. He was hated. He was attacked. He was stoned one time and left for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was beat 5 times, nigh unto death. He was imprisoned. He faced death daily. If you'll read any other translation, you'll see that it makes it clear he faced physical death every day. So watch the context now too. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us just eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's saying, man, there were a lot of people saying there is no resurrection of the dead. And even within the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were split and divided. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't. Man, if you don't believe in the resurrection, that's why you're so sad, you see. Amen? I'd be a sad you see too if I didn't believe in first resurrection and second resurrection and no more death. Now this I say, verse 50. Brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. See, our bodies in this condition, mortal condition, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Your body is decaying. Your inward man is being renewed day by day. And so he's saying that flesh and blood, as we understand it and have experienced it within our humanity, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, we know biblically sleep means our body in the grave. All through the Old and New Testament, sleep means our body in the grave. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all have our bodies laid in the grave, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at what trump? No matter what our eschatology is, this won't happen till the last trump. That means there aren't any more trumps. This is it. It's the last trump. For the trump shall sound. When that last trump sounds, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. One generation will not taste of physical death. It's appointed unto all men once to die, then the judgment. But there's one generation the scriptures speak of that will not even taste physical death. Jesus will come back. We'll be doing the work of the Lord, and our labor is not in vain. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Our bodies that are corruptible will be incorruptible. Our bodies that are mortal will become immortal. Immortal bodies. I mean, as I scan this crowd, you need another body, dude. We're all going to be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, that's at the last trump, that's the second coming of the Lord, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of a what? An archangel. And with the what? What trump of God will that be? The last trump. Whatever last means. And that's where the division starts. But it is the last trump. Trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, that generation that is alive and remains, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's the final hope. That's the final hope of resurrection. Because we do struggle in this life with sin still as Christians. We struggle with sickness as Christians. We struggle with pain. We struggle with sorrows. Now, we are given victory in Jesus, and by faith we can overcome anything the enemy or the world throws at us. But there's a day coming that we have the promissory note, the down payment for your body has been paid for by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, in which we will rule and reign on this earth one day, and there won't be any sickness, there won't be any sin, there won't be any death, there won't be any sorrow. And you're a part of that. So yeah, maybe you're struggling now, but you need to put faith in the hope, the final hope of the resurrection, because everything's going to be made right at the second coming of the Lord. And the new heaven, the new earth is what awaits us. And that's worth fighting against other things and hanging on and not giving up and having joy in that. In Matthew 27, I want to end with this. Boy, thank you, Jesus. The mystery of resurrection. Because there are mysteries still around this thing called the new birth that we don't fully understand. Even though we understand enough to get born again, we understand enough to help other people get born again. Man, this new creation, this new identification in Christ that we have, man, it's a mystery still. The second coming, there's mysteries associated with it. That's why I think, now this is Dwayne, this is just me, but that's why I'm not dogmatic about any eschatology, is there's so many mysteries around this thing that I still think we're looking through a glass darkly. And it is hard to get the whole picture, even though we have some of the picture. Now, in Matthew 27, you go read this, email me. I'm sure I'll get a ton of emails, especially after I say this over the live feed tomorrow. But if you can help enlighten me on what I'm about to read, hey, I welcome it. I don't have any problem saying that is a mystery. But this is after Jesus is raised from the dead. The morning he's raised from the dead. And here's what it says. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That's him dying on the cross. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, or in two. It was ripped from the top to the bottom. That thing was inches thick, and an angel ripped it. That thing that separated God and the people, it was ripped, signifying the way to God now was made clear and smooth sailing through faith. He says that veil of the temple was rent in twain from the... Well, it says it. I was preaching what it says. I was preaching the truth, wasn't I? From the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks started to break apart, rent. And the graves were opened. That means people were dead. They weren't just dead in sins and trespasses. It's the graves. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept, which means they were dead, they had left their bodies, arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. I mean, Uncle Joe's been dead 20 years and Uncle Joe shows up. Think about it. And then am I the only one that goes? And I don't have the next verses because they don't make a lick of sense. He goes on like that's everyday stuff. Dead people. I see dead people. I mean, come on. I'm trying to be serious. I'm excited. It just acts like it's no big deal. Well, Jesus raised from dead, no, a bunch of dead people in the graves. They came up, went home, said, hi, I'm back. Doesn't say if they died the next day. I mean, can you imagine the chaos that created? I know of some dead relatives, I'd freak out if they came back. Go to my notes, I gotta quit. This is Paul praying. Go back to that. Ephesians. Paul says, he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, or of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according this power that is invested in us and toward us is according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And then it goes on to talk about how Jesus is the head of the church and everything's been put under our feet. Now listen to me. I know we're falling extremely short of this kind of power, but it still is available. And We could be that generation that sees the days of such resurrection power. That we see more people raised from the dead than what we've seen. We've seen a few people raised from the dead over the years. But what if there was such a releasing of this power that's really in us? There was such life when God raised Jesus from the dead. All I know about that mystery is there was so much power released from heaven into this earth to raise that man from the bowels of the earth that it spilled over into dead saints where their bodies were quick. Remember when Elijah died? He died sick. That's a mystery. They buried him. And he's already decayed and there's nothing but bones. And some people were coming by for a funeral procession. And they saw an enemy coming over the mountains and stuff, so they panicked. So they threw this dead guy in Elisha's sepulcher. And that dead body hit those bones. And boom, the guy come out. Alive. You're running from the enemy and the guy that you were about to bury is behind you. So you're running twice as fast. Oh, man. I really want to be a part of a company of people where resurrection, first resurrection we've experienced. And the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, he raised you from your death and trespasses and sins. Same power. And we've just been inundated with so much doubt and unbelief and our experiences haven't lined up with what the scriptures say, so we get disheartened. And we just got to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And we'll see more miracles and more miracles and more miracles, more healings. When you're on the operate, before they open you up, you're already healed. That's just awesome.